Getting the recording started. Come on in, everyone. So last time, we asked, do you love the Word of God? And if the answer was yes, then we asked an obvious follow-up question, which was, you remember? Can you cook? Can you cook? Obviously, that's what we were going to ask, right? Today, we're going to do something very similar. And we're going to ask, do you love the Word of God? And then we'll ask an obvious follow-up question. So, Cornerstone ladies, do you love the Word of God?
Yes.
Then the obvious follow-up question is, are you beautiful? On an unrelated note, have you ever seen a movie where the brave hero is going through enemy territory and he steps on a landmine, right? And he hears that click and then he stops. And he stands right there because he knows whatever move he makes next, he's about to get blown to smithereens. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What were we talking about? Wait, are you beautiful? Right. If you thought telling women to get into the kitchen and cook was controversial, today we're going to talk about beauty a little bit. That is the topic for tonight, but what we talk about tonight is just a start, and we would like to get to a whole lot more. And you won't need me in the room as you press on into this thing, but today we're going to talk about beauty. Now, this is a deeply personal topic. For women, it goes to the very heart, to the very core of your being. And that question, am I beautiful, most likely will have haunted you at some point, and for many, it still will. Just like a man is going to ask, do I have what it takes? Am I strong enough? A woman asks, am I beautiful? And saying, I don't care, is not much of an answer, is it? That is a question that needs to be taken with utmost seriousness. Men are created for strength. And while you can joke around with men with just about anything, you can't joke about that. You can't joke about a man's strength or lack of, his potency or his impotency. It's not funny to a man. And the same goes for women in the area of beauty. Women are made for beauty. And you never, ever, ever make light of the glory of a woman. It is a part of her very creation. It is her special gift from God. And there is nothing like it in all the world. Beauty matters. So, am I beautiful is a good question. And women of God ought to be beautiful. Just like you should learn to cook, like we talked about last time, you should also learn to be beautiful. The motivation is the same. God calls you to it. The beauty of a woman is precious and it is potent, and there are many missteps here. I have been nervous about this one. But we have to face it squarely. Are you beautiful? And the first answer right out of the gate is yes. Yes, you are. You have to learn to accept the fact that you are beautiful. Learn to be thankful for it, to rejoice in your beauty, and you have to learn how to deal with it, how to use it. You have to learn how to cultivate it. It is something that you ought to be growing in. It is inherent in you. But just as a man should build up his strength, so a woman should build up her beauty. You are beautiful, and it should be your aim to become even more so. It is difficult to overestimate the potency of a woman's beauty. The beauty of women is the cause of much, if not most, of what happens on planet Earth. That's not an overstatement at all. The beauty of women is the cause of much, if not most, of what happens. You are potent, you are dangerous, which is why, of course, the immoral woman is such a destroyer. She is warned about over and over again in the scriptures because she is the gateway to death, and those who follow her are in the grave and they don't even know it. The immoral woman's beauty is powerful enough to hide even the face of death from its victims. Beauty is powerful. So what are you to do with it? God has given you this precious and potent gift. What now? And the short answer is, use it. Cultivate it. Make it grow. Celebrate it. Use it for its intended purposes. Just like men are to do with their strength, so you are to do with your beauty. One of the great lessons of life is learning how to love and use your beauty. It is to be cultivated and celebrated. The world tries to tell women that they should be like the men, right? That's a common refrain. And that's why you see so many women abandon that their feminine charms, their beauty. They will purposely make themselves look more masculine by the way they look, by the way they talk, in what they're willing to joke about, etc. But God did not intend for women to be masculine or to pursue masculinity, just as he did not intend for men to be effeminate. You have your own calling. You have been given a precious gift, and it is a tragic thing to see that gift abandoned in so many women in pursuit of something where they will never find blessing. What you need is to learn to receive the gift from God, say thank you and amen, and learn to use it for his glory. The truth is, you should be becoming more beautiful as you get older. And almost no one thinks that's possible, but it most certainly is. So let's find out how a little bit. We're going to talk about two aspects of beauty. Outward beauty, inward beauty. This is good pastoral instruction, by the way. Isn't that strange? Both are important. Inward beauty, outward beauty. Both should be cultivated, and you should care about both of them. So we're going to talk first a little bit about outward beauty. Outward beauty, of course, is how you look. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you to pursue it, and then I'm going to add a warning for you in that. The goal here is not to become an object of desire, except to your husband if you're married, but rather using your beauty to elevate everything around you, to elevate the room, to bring a sense of the feminine to bear, which changes everything. Beauty will change the world, and you are called to change the world. But here is the warning that comes with it, one of the main problems. Chances are you have thought, or you do think, that beauty means like looking like something that you are not. And right there, thinking that beauty means looking like something you're not instead of cultivating what you are, right there is where most women fall and many never recover. And they dwell in constant despair or a never-ending search for something they can't find. The desire to look like something you're not is an impossible goal. It's a never-ending search. You will never get there. It will never let you smile into the mirror with a genuine smile. Because by the very nature of it, as soon as you look like something you're not, you no longer look like something you're not, and off you go again to the next. And it is wearisome. And you run and run and run. And in the end, we end up being full of envy, discouragement, because we crave and cannot get. And there are comparisons, jealousies, rivalries, bitterness, resentment, idolatry, all of which are beauty destroyers. So this is the warning. The standard of outward beauty is not measured by another woman. I wish with all my heart that you could receive that message. The standard of beauty is not measured by another woman. Stop comparing. Don't measure yourself by someone else. That is the way to destroy the female soul. So do not seek the beauty of another. Do not desire or lust after that which God has not given you. Just like men are not to desire another woman's beauty over their wife, so are you not to desire another woman's beauty over yours. Is that hard to hear? It is not just men who struggle with lust. It looks different in women. But ladies, you know deep in your heart, immediately, instinctively, and deeply, the destructive power of lust, adultery. And you need to know for certain that your own desire for someone else's beauty is just as destructive to your own soul. Tend to your own garden. Delight in your beauty. Don't get caught prowling around in someone else's garden. We have a world of Christian women who spend the majority of their time sneaking into another woman's garden so that they are just filled with envy. Why are you there? God has given you your own garden to attend to. The standard of beauty is not what you see out there. It's not what you see on your phone. The standard of beauty is not found in another woman. The standard of your own beauty comes from God, who has made you as you are, and it is to be fully explored and enjoyed by each woman. Your garden is your own, and you are responsible to cultivate it, enjoy it, be thankful for it. Here's a good test. Can you look at yourself in the mirror and genuinely say amen? Can you do that? You need to be able to do that. That's something we want to learn. And if you can't, why not? You are created by God himself. Do not despise his creation, even if it is you. It's a gift. You need to learn to look in the mirror and genuinely say amen. Guard your heart from lusting after another woman's beauty. From that kind of lust comes all kinds of grief, discouragement, despondency, even deliberately trying to look as ugly as possible or as cartoonish as possible, hiding and avoiding and shame. From the lust of another woman's beauty will often come eating disorders, all the way out into transgenderism, self-harm, promiscuity, lesbianism, and the list goes on. When we say that beauty is powerful, we don't just mean to other people, but also to you. It is potent. Wrongly understood, wrongly used, wrongly cultivated, the beauty of another will lead to your own destruction. Guard your heart, guard your mind. You have been given a garden, and it is beautiful. It comes from God himself, therefore cultivate your own garden. That is huge. So very simply, here are two areas. We just talked a little bit about outward beauty. Here are two areas to cultivate how you look. I'm just going to mention them and pass on. What I would love to see is some of you teach some of this to the women. You don't need me up here to tell you how to do this. That is not mine to teach. But I will give these two things, and the next couple of sessions for this year are already planned. But think of it for next year. What I would love is for some of these things to start being taught here by women for women. So, outward beauty. Two things just to mention briefly, obviously. But I want to say them because they are Christian. Because you should hear your pastor tell you this. It matters. The first one, if we're talking outward beauty, you should care for your physical health. That's obvious, right? Fitness, eating right, caring for your body. God has given you your body. Learn to use it well. How great would it be to have some lessons on that? Learning how to care for and use your body, knowing it glorifies God. He made you beautiful and he calls you to cultivate it. Go get it. It's within your reach. The standard is not another. The standard is what God has given you. And he says, pursue that. You can pursue outward beauty with joy. Not with vanity, of course, but you can pursue it with joy. You can say, thank you, Lord, for making me beautiful. Thank you and amen. Let's chase it down. That is good. You need to hear pastoral encouragement for that. Second one, clothing, modesty, makeup, hairstyles, things of that nature. We need women teaching women how to do this well. Not to look like someone you're not, but to look like you. Like someone who respects herself, her environment, her people, and seeks to be a blessing to those around her, not as an object of desire. Do not do it to become the immoral woman. Use your beauty as God intended. One who elevates a room and is in keeping with how God has made her. That's a tremendous skill to learn. It is potent, it is powerful, it changes the world. And we need to learn how to do it. We need women to teach other women. All right? We're going to talk a little bit about inward beauty. The very common or familiar passage in 1 Peter talks about letting your adorning being the hidden person of the heart, imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. We're going to get to that passage in a bit. In that passage, it talks about this is how Sarah made herself beauty, right? By her submissiveness and all of that. She made herself beautiful by cultivating a gentle and quiet spirit, being submissive to her husband, calling him Lord. And by the way, if you're married, my Lord and my Lady, those are great terms. They're good terms, right? I think they're great terms. Try them. Try them. Don't tell me how it turns out, but I'm just saying. Sarah made herself beautiful by cultivating a gentle and quiet spirit, calling her husband Lord. And have you ever thought or noticed that though her beauty was internally cultivated, she was also outwardly beautiful? We read that in Genesis 12, when Abraham is about to enter Egypt. He says to Sarah, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. Right? And so he wants her to kind of deceive the people so he doesn't get killed. But she's beautiful outwardly. She's beautiful inwardly, inside and out. And the principle to remember is that inner beauty works its way into outer beauty. One will affect the other. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. Even though bitterness resides in the heart, you can see it in someone's face, can't you? A bitter person, or resentment, anger, hatred, fear, self-loathing, all of these things have bodily and facial expressions. Marcella can't see my heart, but you can bet she knows when I'm depressed. I haven't said a word, and she knows exactly what's in here, because the inward becomes outward. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. The inward works its way out. Never forget, no amount of beautification outwardly is going to fix that. A quiet heart that is settled before the Lord, secure in the love of God in Christ Jesus, trusting in his promises, walking in obedience, loving one's own garden. All these things can be seen in a person's face and their body language. Not perfectly, but as a principle. So you are called then not to desire the beauty of another woman, but to cultivate your own beauty by tending to your heart. How many of you tell yourself daily that you're not beautiful? How often have you said that to yourself? That you're not desirable, or even that you're ugly, you don't measure up. Don't measure up to someone else's beauty. How often have you said that? Have you even said it today? How many of you embrace that idea? In so doing, You begin to waste away. It's a rot to the bones and to your soul. And it makes your whole body start to droop and drag. Just as inner beauty leads to outer beauty, if I can say it this way, so does inner ugliness lead to outer ugliness. There is nothing holy. There is nothing holy or humble about being down on yourself all the time. That is actually a sinful attitude that needs to be repented of. Boy, that's hard to hear, right? You're depressed and discouraged, really down on yourself, and someone says, wow, you got to repent of that. That's hard. I'm sorry. But it's true. Absolutely, it is true. That is a lie that many believe and get caught right there, never getting free of it. It's a false humility, and it's a deadly trap for the feminine soul. Constant comparison with someone else. And the world is screaming at you to make those comparisons. Like it couldn't possibly be louder, right? The world is screaming at you, compare, 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 compare. And the comparison is always you're here and someone else is up there. Always. You have a battle in front of you. And that's real and it's hard. But God says to you, to women, to his daughters, I have made you the glory of humanity. Woman, you are the pinnacle of my creation. Go take what I have given you, that name, the body, the soul of woman, and go make it better, make it glorious. Use your beauty to show the world God's glory. He has told you to do it, and he has told you how, even in that passage we just mentioned. Beauty is something you have, inherently. God has made women beautiful. Full stop. And then it is something that you need to cultivate. You are responsible to cultivate that which God has given you. A man is responsible to build his strength. A woman is responsible to build her beauty. Can you receive that? Does that crush you? Is that really hard to hear? I tell you, a man who is weak really hates to hear that he needs to be strong. He said last time, men tend to struggle with shame. Women tend to struggle with guilt. Can you receive that? That you are beautiful and you have a responsibility to be beautiful. It's not humble to hate the way you look and to tear yourself down. That is not humility. You have been given a job and you have all you need. Be beautiful. Do you love the word of God? Then the obvious next question is, are you beautiful? You ought to love your own beauty. The sin of lust will show itself differently in a woman than it does in a man, but it is no less destructive. It convinces you that you are ugly, and then slowly what you have embraced in your heart becomes outward reality, and you're stuck on a treadmill that you never get off of. Ugliness is not something you are. It is something you do to yourself. Ugliness is not something you are. It is something you do to yourself. God has made you female. He has made you beautiful. And he calls you to pursue it. And we really need women teaching other women how to do this. This is hard. All day long, you have the world screaming at you to compare yourself to something else. Always, always, always. Do you have any voices in your life teaching you, encouraging you, exhorting you to tend to your own garden, to rejoice in it, to make it grow and be beautiful and to bless others with your feminine charms and beauty? We need women teaching other women how to do this. Learn how to rejoice in who you are. So I'm going to give you a bit of homework to do. In pursuit of what we've just talked about, here's a bit of homework. I'm not going to make you run laps in the gym for physical fitness, though. If you want to run laps after we're done, you're welcome to, but I'm not telling you to run laps. I would encourage you to start with examining your own heart. Take some time examining your own heart where you need to repent of pursuing the beauty of another, of that comparison, and then that beating up of yourself, bringing yourself down because you're not someone else. Examine your heart, honestly, where you need to repent of pursuing the beauty of another. Repent of that lust that's not for you. And commit before the Lord to cultivating your own garden with joy, eagerness, and thanksgiving. I'm perfectly serious in this next thing I'm going to say. Practice looking in the mirror each day this month and say amen. For real. For real. Do that. You need to learn to do that. Because it's easy to say, oh, I always compare and I shouldn't compare. And then it just stops there. And then you go back and you compare. Right? The Bible says to put off lies and put on truth. If we just put off lies and don't put anything on in its place, you go back to the lies. Put off the lies and then put on truth. Practice. Practice. Look in the mirror each morning this month and say, amen. Amen. And then I'm going to give you three things to consider, to kind of have in your mind and just work through as you consider some of these things. First one, sometime this next month, read the Song of Solomon. Spend some time in that short book. And as you do, pay special attention to the celebration of one another. How the bride loves her own beauty. She entices and invites her husband to come with her to her garden, to enjoy it together. She is not ashamed. She is not ashamed of her body or of her beauty. Read the Song of Solomon and see how captivating and gracious she is. She sees herself and says, amen. Read the Song of Solomon. Second one. Read 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. That's that passage we referenced a bit earlier. I'll read it here. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Spend some time in that passage and notice how powerful inner beauty is. God uses that beauty, that feminine beauty, to change the hearts of men. Nothing changes the hearts of men, right? Who can change the heart? God alone changes the heart. And here he says, ladies, this is how I'm going to do it. This is one of the ways that I change the hearts of men, through your beauty. That is nothing short of miraculous. And yet there it is, so pursue it. Take note of the elements that were mentioned. Submission, respect, purity, gentleness, quietness, obedience, good deeds, and courage. Those are the ones listed in that passage when you go through it. Those are your main sources of true beauty. You can use all the outward things, but the ones that you should be caring most about: submission, respect, purity, gentleness, quietness, obedience, good deeds, and courage. Those should be more important to you than lipstick, eyeshadow, eyeliner, blush, perfume, nail polish, hairstyles, hair remover, lip liner, moisturizing cream, bronzer, contour powder, mascara, concealer, I was going to say Spanx, but I'll leave that one. You get the picture. You can use those things. He said, outward beauty matters. It's good. It is good. But the main source of your beauty, inward out, so that you can actually look in the mirror and give a genuine amen, give a faith-fueled smile instead of a fake one where your heart is just destroyed and you got a lovely smile on your face. We want those to line up. Submission, respect, purity, gentleness, quietness, obedience, good deeds, and courage. That's where it comes from. More so than anything else. So read the Song of Solomon. Read 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. And then third, just practically, we talked about outer beauty a little bit. What can you reasonably pursue? If it's good to do, if outward beauty is worth pursuing, if it's good, God calls you to it. All right, instead of just saying, I wish I was different, or I wish I was in better health, or whatever, what can you do? Pick one small thing, whatever it is. Once you've settled your heart before the Lord, that you will not lust after another's beauty, that you will tend to your own garden, that you can stand before the Lord and in front of your mirror and say, amen. Thank you, Lord. Then find small ways to care for yourself and cultivate that kind of beauty. Enjoy the garden that you are and be a blessing to your people and your environment. So what can you reasonably pursue? Pick something small, whatever it is. I'm not going to tell you. Read 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. Know which list matters the most. And then read the Song of Solomon. Look in the mirror and say amen. Cultivate that. Now, this is a tough topic, I know. But it is abundantly clear that women are concerned about their beauty. And they should be. Do not be ashamed that it is on your mind. Why? Because God has put it on your mind. He has made you for beauty. There is no one like you. You have your garden, and God calls you to cultivate it. Can you look in the mirror and say, amen? I know that's hard. But we want to start to pursue that. Do you love the word of God? Then ask the question, am I beautiful? Learn to say amen to the garden that God has given you, and then go to work in that garden so that it is fruitful, that it is joyful, and that it is beautiful. That is something to be embraced and then used as a great, great, great blessing. Any questions? No? Okay. I would love to see some of you ladies teaching more on this. How do we do this? I mean, I don't know. I'm a man. Right? But some of you know. And some of you ought to know. And we want to be able to teach that to one another, to pursue this, not to say it doesn't matter. It does matter. Comparisons don't matter. That's the lie of the world. Do not lust after the beauty of another. Boy, that's going to kill your soul in about half a second. Don't give in to that lie. Lust is a killer. Your own beauty is potent, and it is yours. Cultivate it and make it grow. Let's pray.